also happen to be in the book of Romans, kind of at the tail end. It's this big, gnarly book that we're tackling this summer. We're at the tail end of the book of Romans, and it's all about serving. It's all about serving, how we serve each other, how we treat each other, how we're kind to each other. And so it's a great way to wrap up a summer of serving by wrapping up a book of the Bible devoted to serving one another. Romans chapters 12 through 16 is really an invitation. It's an invitation to use the lives God gave us to do some good in this world. For the next couple of weeks, as we wrap up the book of Romans, this is what we're gonna see time and time again. An invitation to use the lives God gave us to do some good in this world. Romans 12:1 starts out with a very clear invitation. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is a very famous verse of the Bible. In fact, a lot of people memorize this particular verse because it is so powerful. It calls us to present our bodies to God as living sacrifices. But it begins with the word therefore, and that's the Greek word un, and there's some hysterical things in the world of Bible interpretation. This is one of them. When you see the word therefore, you have to ask, what is the therefore? All right, not very funny. Bible interpreters are not very funny, but that is a great question. When you see therefore in the Bible, you have to ask, what is the therefore? That little word in Greek un, in English therefore, links chapters 1 through 11 with chapters 12 through 16. It's the bridge. That single word is a bridge between the first part of Romans and the second part of Romans. Essentially, the Apostle Paul is saying this: all that I've taught you about in Romans chapters 1 through 11, and it's some heavy stuff. It's some deep stuff. So for those of you who have been here this summer, we've gone through a whole education about how God has worked from the beginning with Abraham and beyond, to really build this movement of grace and this movement of love through Jesus Christ. We've gone through some good stuff, Romans 1 through 11, then Romans 12. Therefore, here's how to live your life. We've thought a lot about God. We've thought a lot about the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. We've thought a lot about it. We've processed it in Romans 1 through 11. Therefore, here's how to live your life. To put it this way, Romans chapters 1 through 11 shows us the good that God has done for us by grace alone, through Christ alone, uniting us with him and with one another. That's Romans chapters 1 through 11. Some weighty material. Therefore, as a result of that, Romans chapters 12 through 16 invite us to then do good for others, living graciously as God has been gracious to us. These are the two parts of Romans. 1 through 11, we learned a lot about God and his grace and his goodness and his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Chapters 12 through 16, now how do we live that out? You could say Romans 1 through 11 is live free. Romans 12 through 16 is do good. Live free, do good. That is the theme of Romans. Let me restate Romans 12:1. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Now focus on this. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Present your bodies, your life to God as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. You see a problem with those two words? Living sacrifice. Have you ever heard of an oxymoron? Two words that are opposite? That's what living sacrifice is. Two words that are opposite. They don't belong together. There's, in fact, kind of no such thing in the Old Testament. There's no such thing in religion. If you give a sacrifice, it's something that's dead. So if you read your Old Testament Bible, you're gonna read a lot about animal sacrifices, right? Very ancient tradition. You bring an animal, kill it, bring it to God, and then they eat it, so nothing's wasted, so it's all good in the hood there, but it's dead. It's dead. Then you bring grain, or you bring, say, your treasure from your home. You bring a little bit of resources to help the temple and the religious ceremonies. You bring some wood from your shop. You bring gold. You bring things that aren't alive. That's normally what sacrifice is. You bring things that aren't alive. But the Apostle Paul says, present your body as a living sacrifice. It's an oxymoron. Like small crowd. You can't say small crowd. If it's small, it's not a crowd. It's what pick, right? Or old news. Oh, that's old news. Well, if it's old, it's not news, right? They don't belong together. I have an unlimited budget. If it's unlimited, it's not a budget. So, you know, stop saying it. Oh, just act naturally. Well, if it's natural, I don't have to act. They don't belong together, right? I have an unbiased opinion. Yeah, well, that's not an opinion, right? It's either virtual or reality. No such thing as virtual reality, right? They don't belong together. It's just a minor crisis. Then don't call it a crisis if it's minor. If it's called a crisis, then it ain't minor, right? So there's words we put together for reasons, but they don't make a lot of sense. So when the Apostle Paul says living sacrifice, everybody's head's like cocked. What are you talking about? Living sacrifice, there's no such thing. Well, what Paul is saying here through the book of Romans is, listen, God has never really been a fan of the dead sacrifices. He's never been a fan of just parading dead animals and grain and wood and gold and whatever else comes before him. He's never been all that interested in it. In fact, you can go to the Old Testament where they were doing all these sacrifices and God says, I'm not really interested. Hosea 6:6. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want your burnt offerings. God's saying, kind of enough. You just stop this religious stuff. Stop the religious just going through the motions, right? God's saying, I want to connect with you. I want you to know I know you and I love you, and I would like you to know me and love me in return. Let's have a relationship together. Not all this offerings, like, God, I hope you're pleased with all this stuff. God says, can we just be connected in unity, in love, in grace, right? That's really what God wants. God wants us. So in Romans 12, when the Apostle Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, God is just excited about this. Yeah, we're offering ourselves to the service of God because he loves us, and now we're eager to love the world around us. And God's, all right, let's go. Not some dead thing on some altar, but a living human being in relationship with me that wants to do some good in this world. That's a living sacrifice. That's what God wants from us. That's what he wants from us. It goes on to say this in Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person first by changing the way you think. In Romans 12, God is saying, listen, we're gonna talk about what it's like to live a new life, what it's like to live a life that knows my grace and knows my mercy and knows my love and wants to be gracious and merciful and loving to the world around us. That's what we're gonna talk about, but it starts with a change of the mind. A mind that has a different value set than the values of the world. So what does the world value? I like the Apostle John, the way he puts it in 1 John 2:16. He says, the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. The world offers only a craving for everything we see, material things, and the world offers pride in our achievements and possessions. That's the value of the world. The value system of the world says, hey, listen, pursue physical pleasure, pursue pleasure. If you want to do it, go ahead and do it. It's about you. Get what you want. Or it's about materialism. It's about materialism, craving for everything we see. You got it, I want it, right? If it's advertised, I'm getting it. Physical pleasure, materialism, and pride. Pride. I want my way. I want to be noticed for what I'm doing, right? I want people to acknowledge me. That's what the world offers. The world offers a whole value system that's about us. Just about us. Me, my life, my way, my family, just us. That's all we kind of care about. And that's a very small life. It's a very small life. Sometimes I say, hey, listen, as a single human being in this big, beautiful cosmos, you take up 1 square foot of real estate. That's if you have size 12 shoe. 1 square foot of real estate. That's how big one person is. 144 square inches in this big, vast cosmos. The world says only think about yourself. Physical pleasure, materialism, and pride. Now listen, those things in and of themselves are not all bad. God wired us for physical pleasure, right time, right place. All right, let's go. We have things around us, a home and clothes and things we can buy with our money. Those aren't evil, right? That's not a problem to have money and buy things. It's not a problem to be a little bit proud of what you've done, the things you've accomplished. But what Paul says in Romans 12 and what John says in 1 John 2 is that's all the world offers is just yourself. That's a very small world, very, very tiny world. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is gonna say, listen, don't just worry about yourself, your own physical pleasure, your own material things, or the pride of your life. Look around. There's a big world out there that honestly needs you. There's a world that needs your gifts and your abilities. There's a world that needs your talent. There's a world that needs your love, your care, and your concern. They need a little bit of your time, a little bit of your resources. Look outside of yourself, this little one square foot self, and embrace this big world around you and serve this big world around you. In order to do that, in order to get in that mindset of looking outside ourselves, the Apostle Paul says we need three things. He starts with humility. We need humility. Romans 12:3. Don't think you are better than you really are. You think, well, what if I'm really good? We'll get to that, actually. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Don't think of yourselves better than you really are. Now, sometimes in Christian circles, we really like to remind each other how bad we are. It's kind of a hobby of the Christian church, and I don't really like it all that much. A lot of times in Christian churches, you will be reminded incessantly how big of a sinner you are, right? Have you heard that kind of growing up? You're a sinner, you're a sinner. Everybody's got to know they're a sinner. Everybody's got to know the sins. You got to call out the sins, not only that you commit, but you got to call out the sins that other people commit. It's a big, like, sin gotcha party, and it's no fun at all, right? And we have to remind each other that we're sinners, and we even say things like wretches. Have you heard the song Amazing Grace? It's a great song, but there's one line I just hate. That God, you know, you saved a wretch like me. A wretch? Are we really supposed to think of ourselves as wretches? Oh, God, you're holy and perfect, and I'm just this lowly, wretched sinner. Is that how we're supposed to consider ourselves? I think not. You read God's word and what God really thinks of us. As we talked about last week a little bit, God thinks we're a pretty big deal. I mean, look at this. I mean, you're beautiful people. You are each wonderfully made in the image of God. Are you aware that you are made in the image of God? So if we're saying, oh, we're just a wretch, it's almost like saying, well, God's image is wretched. Listen, I know we're not perfect, but we don't have to keep pointing fingers at each other and reminding each other how sinful we are and calling out the sins of everybody else. We are beautifully and wonderfully made in God's image. I don't want to get cheesy here, but each of you are one of a kind, right? You are the only you. It's true. You have gifts and skills and abilities that only you have. Your life is this incredible adventure. It's a story that only you have written. If there's a book about your life, I mean, it's the only one. You're the only one who shares your story. And for some of you, it's quite an adventure, right? That's uniquely you. Each of us have family and friends and a vocation and a church that you're a vital part of, right? You're a vital part of these communities that want you and love you and need you. You are a big deal. And so when the scripture talks about humility, it's not talking about, oh, I'm just a this, I'm just a that, I'm a wretch, I'm a sinner, I'm bad, or I should be feeling guilty. It's like, no, lift your head, pull back your shoulders, look in the mirror, I'm made in the image of God. Psalm 139, you are the handiwork of God that he shows off to everyone. Are you perfect? Am I perfect? No, we've got some things to work on. Okay, keep working on those things. But you're a big deal. Biblical humility is not about considering ourselves to be small or considering ourselves to be a sinful wretch. Biblical humility just says, I'm not gonna put myself above anybody else. I can be a little bit proud of who I am and the gifts I have and my unique story, but I'm never gonna put myself above another person. That's biblical humility, which means you don't need to be right all the time or think you're right all the time. You're just not. I'm not. We're not right all the time. So let's not carry ourselves like we have to be right all the time. Let's be humble. We don't need to think that we're smarter than those who disagree with us. In fact, just something we can maybe start doing as a little bit of a check is if we're disagreeing with someone, instead of reloading the next argument, listen, this is hard, really hard, especially for people like me who actually are right all the time. I'm kidding. But we sometimes don't listen when there's a disagreement. We're just reloading. What's the next thing I'm gonna say to kind of get you in your right place, right? Let's listen, let's learn. We don't need to carry ourselves like other people should be meeting our needs at restaurants and hotels and meet my need and meet my need, and or in our family, hey, you didn't meet my expectation and we'll punish you for that. Let's not carry ourselves as though we should have our needs met by others. Let's not expect that we're gonna get our way all the time. In fact, maybe we could start thinking, hey, my pleasure is gonna be for you to get your way, and I'm gonna be really happy that you get your way. I can see the smile on your face, and that's pretty cool. That's humility. It's not considering ourselves lowly. Consider ourselves, hey, a big deal, made in the image of God. That's one of a kind, right? But everybody else is there with us. There's a cultural anthropologist, Margaret Mead. She says, always remember that you are absolutely unique, just like everybody else. I love that because we can embrace the fact that we are unique, but everybody else is uniquely treasured by God as well. That's humility. Jesus himself, he is the Lord. He is the full nature of divinity. Jesus himself was humble. In fact, the only time he described his character in Matthew 11:29, he says, I am humble and gentle at heart. He is the Lord Jesus. He says, I'm humble and gentle. If Jesus, who is the biggest deal, is humble and gentle, then we too can say, God, would you make me like Jesus? Humble and gentle. And then when we're humble, we can begin to belong. We can belong to each other. When no one is above anyone else, we're all shoulder to shoulder. We're all equals in the eyes of God and equals in the eyes of each other. Now we can have a sense of belonging. We belong to one another. And that's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:4-5. He says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking to a church, a local church, a church at Rome. And this church was fighting bitterly against each other. There were racial fights, Jews versus Gentiles, and religious fights, the traditionalists versus the liberalists. They were not liking each other. They were tearing this church apart. They were dividing. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, if you're humble, you're not better than anyone else. Then you can belong to one another in a community together, and that community is called the body of Christ. Now, for those of you who have been raised in church, you've got a lot of church experience under your belt, you might think, okay, I've heard the term body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and that might be very natural to you. Some of you who might be new to church are going, that is weird. What does it mean that we are the body of Christ? It's a totally foreign concept to you. Well, let me explain just a bit. It's an illustration. It's an illustration. The Apostle Paul is saying we are like a body. A church is like a body. A church is like, actually, the body of Jesus Christ. So let's kind of get his line of thinking here. Jesus, incarnate, human spirit, human body, 2,000 years ago. Born on the earth 2,000 years ago, a human spirit, a human body. He was born as a peasant in modern-day Jerusalem, area of Galilee, squatters, village of Nazareth. He was raised in a carpenter's home and was born poor under Roman oppression. At about 30 years old, he starts a public ministry. He's passionate about his countrymen. He's passionate about the nation of Israel. They are oppressed. They are downtrodden. They are abused. They are in poverty. And Jesus wants them to experience life, new life, in this new paradigm, a new way of life he called the kingdom of heaven. And so he starts teaching and preaching and healing and feeding, and thousands gather to Jesus. Jesus in spirit, Jesus in a human body, creating this incredible movement. And this movement started in Galilee, an area north Israel, and then moved into Jerusalem, the capital city, and he made some noise. And he was bringing thousands to his cause, to serve one another, to love one another. But he was making those in power very nervous, those in religious power and political power very nervous. Jesus was getting a lot of attention. They didn't want anything to do with it. They conspired to kill him. They crucified him. He died. On the third day, he rose again. A few weeks later, ascended to be with the Father. The body of Jesus is not here. But the spirit of Jesus was sent to his church. 50 days after the resurrection, the Spirit of Jesus was sent to his church. It's the day of Pentecost. Read about it in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of Jesus comes to us and fills us and binds us and unites us together as the body of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is in everyone who believes. That's what gives us this wonderful connection and relationship with God. It is spirit-to-spirit relationship with God. Some of you experience that through prayer. Some of you experience it through nature. Some of you experience it through music and seeing all these kids worshiping and you are worshiping. Some of you experience the Spirit of God through the Word and Bible study. Others through serving people. There's that Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of Christ in you that binds you in relationship with God. But you're not the only one who has the Spirit of God. All of us do. We all do. And so together, the Spirit binds us together as the body of Christ. We, the church, are the living, breathing, walking, talking, loving, serving body of Jesus. We are the physical Jesus on this earth. Isn't that kind of a cool thing to think about? I mean, when we get here for church, what we're doing is equipping each other as a family of faith, as the body of Christ. We're equipping each other how to be the physical presence of Jesus in this world. And so when we leave this church and we go to our families and our neighborhoods and our places of work, we can be a little tiny representative of Jesus wherever we are. Now, no one of us is the perfect representative of Jesus. No one of us. No one of us is the perfect ministry of Jesus. But all of us together can live out the full body of Christ, the full ministry of Jesus on this earth. We belong to each other as the body of Christ. And then the Apostle Paul says, listen, be humble. You're the body of Christ. You belong to each other. And now serve. Volunteer. Volunteer. Serve one another with your time. Romans 12, 4 through 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. I love that. We have certain gifts from the Spirit of God that we do well. There's things that we just do well, that we just do right, right? So I want to ask you a question, and this is a totally leading question, so don't share this with anybody. What do you do well? What are the things that you do uniquely well? Some of you are like, we just don't have time to go through the list. Others of you might say, I don't know if I do anything well. All right, well, lift up your head, pull back your shoulders. You do a lot real well. Think through what you uniquely do well, where you can say, yeah, I'm pretty good at this. Romans 12 has a short list. Some people are good at serving. You just like to be helpful. Some of you are good at teaching. Maybe you're good at encouraging. You give kind words to people. Maybe you're good with generosity. You just love giving things to people to help people out. You're good at leading. You can rally people together and, you know, do something wonderful. You're good at kindness. You're a very nice person. That's the short list in Romans chapter 12. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, hey, if you're good at something, just do that. Not just at home, not just in your place of work, but in your church. In the body of Christ, volunteer. Just do something you do well here. Do something you do well here. Romans 12 has that short list, but there are other lists in the Bible, and I've got a list of my own. Are you good at building? You like building stuff? Are you good at social media? Are you good at art or design? Are you good at music or singing? You notice that each one of these things I'm saying has a place here at Rancho Church? Okay, let's keep going. Are you good with kids or youth? Are you good at hospitality, welcoming people, particularly new people? Are you good with tech or audiovisual production? Are you good at manual labor? You got strong back, strong arms, strong legs, get stuff done. Are you good at maintenance or landscaping? If you're good at something, maybe you might want to consider doing that at church. Because only church is the body of Christ. The place that you work is very important, and you do a lot of good stuff, I'm sure. Your home life is very important. You have a lot of fun together, I'm sure. But there's only one relationship that is the body of Christ on earth. There's only one relationship that is the living, breathing, walking, talking, hands and feet of Jesus, and that is the church. We represent Jesus on earth. And so if there's a church congregation that is specifically focused on themselves, I'm not sure that's representing Jesus particularly well. So the invitation from the Apostle Paul is let your church, let your family of faith be the fullest expression of Jesus possible, which means give a little bit of time to serve each other, just a little bit. Romans 12, 9 says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Might be a little heavy-handed here, but the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, listen, we can tell each other how much we love each other. We can come to church and be together, which is certainly important. But what really is an expression of love is if we do something active. We're actively generous with our time, actively generous with our resources, actively generous with the skills and gifts and abilities and passions that we uniquely have given to others. That's when we really come alive. And I'm not just talking about us coming alive. I'm talking about the world comes alive, as we sang earlier, right? when we serve one another, when we volunteer. I was a part of Rancho Youth Group for 6 years. I started as a seventh grader and went all the way through high school at Rancho Church Youth Group. We were on the other campus, the original campus, and I just loved being a part of Rancho Youth Group. I had a little bit of a rough family life, and so I loved going there every Tuesday night for junior high. I loved going there every Wednesday night for high school, had a great time. Every time I showed up, we'd have a good time together, play some games, have some fun. There would be leaders there who really cared about us. They would show up every week, they'd lead small groups, they'd take us to trips and we overseas and just all kinds of fun stuff. I loved being a part of Rancho Youth Group, and I just soaked it all up. As a senior in high school, I was 17 years old, and my youth pastor, Brad Fogle, comes alongside of me and says, "Hey, listen, have you ever thought about serving in junior high?" And I said, "Well, Brad, let me think about it." No. No way was that on the radar. I mean, that would have been the furthest thing in my mind. I'm a high schooler now, right? I don't want to hang out with junior hires. And I said, "No," right away, no. He goes, "Oh, we'll think about it." Okay, no. But I did start to think about it. And he did keep asking me, so he pestered me a little bit. But I started thinking one thing in particular. You know, I've been a part of this youth group at Rancho Church for 6 years. 6 years. This church has given so much to us. They built buildings for us. They have a budget for us. They have volunteers for us. They hire a staff for us. So here I am as a senior in high school for 6 years. I've been getting so much from this church. Building stuff, somebody's paying the utility bills and volunteers and all. I've been on the receiving end of all this stuff for 6 years. And this wasn't driven by guilt, it was just driven by this conviction that says, when the time is right, I'm gonna actually return the favor. When the time is right, I'm gonna give a little. When the time is right, I'm gonna serve a little. And so I said yes. Semi-reluctantly, I said yes to help out with junior high. I was semi-reluctant until about 5 minutes into the first time I helped out. And I was just addicted. Had a good time with these kids. It was like, I mean, these little seventh graders were looking at me as a senior in high school and like, "Oh, we're so glad you're here." I'm like, "Oh, wow, this is kind of cool." And a couple things I said, they actually kind of were helpful in their lives. And I thought, this is really what it feels like to volunteer. And I've been addicted ever since to volunteering with youth. I mean, ever since. I was a youth pastor here for, I think, 14 years. And then they asked me to be the lead pastor here. Biggest mistake in Rancho's history. They asked me to be the lead pastor here. And I said, "Listen," and I really was serious about this, "on one condition, I am a youth pastor. I'm a youth pastor. I'll be the senior pastor and I will love it. I'll do my best at it, but I'm a youth pastor. I wanna make sure our children's ministry is fueled and our youth ministry, and I'm gonna spend time with them. And this school that we have is gonna be just absolutely premier status, and we're going for it. We are about the next generation, the next generation." And they said, "That sounds great." And so VBS, I'm here all week, and youth camp, I'm there all week, and I'm leading the games, and I love this stuff. I get to be a kid whenever I'm around kids. It is so much fun. I will lead games for VBS and youth until they put me 6 feet under the earth or say, "You are seriously too old right now." But I'm gonna keep showing up. It's so much fun, so much energy, volunteering in an environment that you love. What's the environment that you think you might love? What's the environment you think you might love? Work in that environment enthusiastically. Romans 12, 11. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I think that's another attempt at an oxymoron. Work hard, enthusiasm. Those two don't really go together. I think Paul's just smashed them together. And he's saying, listen, if you decide in humility, belonging to each other, at the right time to volunteer, you will work hard at times, but it will be with enthusiasm. Absolute enthusiasm. I'm laughing because my son volunteered at Escape last week. He lives in Orange County, has a whole world out there, decided to volunteer. He's been to Escape in his youth, and he says, "I'm gonna give back, I'm gonna volunteer." And he gave his all for those kids. And the games that they played, not just him, but all the 40 other leaders, games that they played with those kids were full on. He played this game called Kajabi Can Can, to the end. And he hurt his shoulder. Pretty bad. He's played tackle football for 6 years, never got hurt. Escape camp, injured his shoulders. He couldn't raise his arm for a whole week. smile on his face, loving every minute of it. That's working hard with enthusiasm. Like, I'm gonna give my all to these kids. His mom, my wife said, oh, should you go down for an X-ray? And he's like, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere. And he's not hurt bad. But that's the point, right? Work hard with enthusiasm. These counselors, God bless them, they're heroes. At camp, they don't get any sleep, but they're giving their all to those kids. I gotta give a little shout out to Mr. Steve Solomon. Every single year, he signs up to be a camp counselor in a cabin. This guy has been a youth pastor forever, right? And he's been to so many camps. I mean, probably hundreds and hundreds of camps. And as a 50-blank-year-old man, he is signing up every year to have a cabin full of kids. Not getting sleep, playing games hard, losing his voice, shouting for his team. There's nothing better than working hard with enthusiasm when you're doing something you love, with people you love, towards a cause you love. Not everybody has the same cause. Not everybody wants to do children's. Not everybody wants to do youth. But there's something that is precisely your sweet spot to volunteer. And I have a couple suggestions. We need people to help with children's ministry. We just do. During COVID, we lost a lot of volunteers because we were home for a while, and now we're full blown back. We're about to head for a fall launch. Rancho is growing tremendously, heading for a fall launch, and we're shy of children's workers. And these are people that just want to hang out with kids, play with kids, talk to kids, ask and answer a few questions. And it doesn't have to be every week, maybe once a month. Help out with kids, help out with nursery, help out with children's ministry, help out with youth. If anything you saw today is like, wow, this looks like a lot of fun, and I think I could do that. You might be reluctant, you might be a little freaked out that first time you walk in there. It's like, are these kids gonna like me or whatever? You walk in, they're gonna like you, they're gonna love you, and you will have a great time, and you'll probably never look back. We need people who can, you know, smile, genuinely smile. Let's practice, ready? Can you smile? Okay, you're signed up, you're in. People outside to welcome new people to church. Rancho is welcoming more new people now than we ever have, maybe with the exception of our grand opening on this campus. We are welcoming tons of new people every single week. And you show up to church for the first time, and you may not know what's going on. Where is this? Where is that? Where's the bathroom? Where do my kids go? Where do my youth go? Where's church? What time does it end? When people come onto Rancho campus, and we're talking about fall launches next month, we want people from the parking lot all the way in saying, hey, it looks like you're new today. Can I help you? Do you have any questions? Oh, how old is this? You want to check them into children's ministry? Let me walk you all the way down there, get to know their story, walk them through, sign in, get them here to church, and then take care of the next family. To have that kind of hospitality to people who are brand new. Now, some of you might be wired not just for church life, but to people in need. To people in need. I love Romans 12:13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. There are so many people in need. And you might drive around Temecula, Marietta Valley, and you think, well, this is a pretty well-off community, and I don't see a lot of needs here. Let me tell you, there are so many desperate needs in our community. We opened and operate and founded the Community Mission of Hope and Rancho Damasitas and the Empowerment Village and Hope Family Housing. There are so many things, the farm, so many things that we launched as a church that need your volunteer help. At this ribbon cutting on Friday, cutting the ribbon for these two beautiful homes, it was fantastic. But you know what's gonna change these single moms' lives? Volunteers who show up to those homes, meet with those mothers, cry with those mothers, put some of the pieces of their lives together, teach them some new habits that are gonna make sure they thrive and flourish as moms, as women, as employees, to put their lives together so that in about 2 years, they're gonna be able to graduate, transition to self-sufficiency, and very likely, they're the ones who are gonna then volunteer at those same houses. This is the cycle of serving that so many of us are on. Now listen, I'm inviting you today to be a part of this adventure. It could be in one of our ministry departments, it could be in our welcome team, our tech team. We have so much fun doing tech. We got gizmos and gadgets over there that are so cool. Train me on them, let's use them, let's have a good time. You might have a heart for single moms, you might have a heart for people in the street who are without homes, you might have a heart for those who are substance addicted. You might have a heart, and now might be the time. And if this is the time for you, we make it super easy. Rancho.tv/serve. Rancho.tv/serve. You click on that button, there's gonna be a little form. You're not signing off on this. You're not signing up for anything. You're not committing for the rest of your life. You're just expressing an interest. You fill out your name, contact information, someplace you're interested in serving, and somebody will get in touch with you. If not, email me personally, scott.treadway@rancho.tv. But somebody will email you personally and just have a conversation with you. Is now the time for you to step up and volunteer? Where do you want to volunteer? What's a good fit? What's your schedule? We want to work in your schedule. And you'll experience the very same pleasure that I experienced when I first said yes to working in junior high back in the day. You'll experience that same pleasure of being a part of a community, doing some real good for people. And for some of you, just to be honest, now's not the time, and that's okay. If you're burdened with life, if you don't know how you're gonna make it the next day, if you don't have any capacity or energy to give outside yourself because there's too much going on, we are just glad you're here today. We're just glad you're here, and that's enough. But for some of you, now might be the time. Step up, volunteer, make a difference in somebody's life. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for Romans chapter 12. Thank you for this very clear teaching, this invitation to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't want the dead stuff, you want the living. You want a relationship. You want people who are eager to partner together, to belong to the body of Christ, and to be the living, breathing Jesus. In our city, in our neighborhoods, at our workplace, and in and through this church. Thank you for Rancho Church, that we can do so much for so many, with children's and youth and families that are in need, and single moms, feeding people, housing people, counseling people, mentoring people. God, you are at work powerfully through us. I pray that those who are ready to step up and volunteer, that there would be a wide open door, that they would be able to walk through that door with all their perhaps doubts and fears to boldly take that step and to say, I'm gonna sign up, I'm gonna volunteer, I'm gonna serve. And God, I absolutely know you will give them more joy and pleasure in life and their relationship with you than perhaps they have ever known, because they're being used by you to do something wonderful together. In Jesus' name we pray.